Let's go on our feet. 2 Kings 4:23. 2 Kings 4:23. And he said, wherefore shall thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Amen. 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 2 Kings 4:23. It shall be well.
Amen.
And it was this Shunammite woman who lost her only son. And she said, it shall be well. And her son was restored back to life. I want you to pray. This day and forever, it shall be well with me and my entire household. Talk to God.
Lord,
this day and forever, it shall be well with me.
Lord,
it shall be well with my household. It shall be well with whatever I lay my hand upon. It shall be well with my business. It shall be well with my children, wherever they are. Those children that are married, it is well with them and their children. Those children that are still looking unto God for life partners, it is well with them. For the Lord will provide for them. Those children that are still in college, those in high school, it is well with them. We have so many of them searching for excellent job. Pray this morning that it is well for them. It is well for me, for my work, in my business, in everything that I lay my hand upon. That is the promise of God. It is well. Numbers 12:14 28 says, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as he has spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
Numbers 14:28. We want to do something very important. Make up your mind. You are in the presence of God. Say unto them, God is asking me to say unto you this morning, say, as truly as I live, if God lives, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so I will do to you.
Amen.
What do you want God to do for you? Talk to God this morning. Speak to God. For me, it has always been my wish to be an international financier of missions. But when I look at myself at times, Satan will tell you that cannot even, you know, finance local mission. You want to finance international mission. But that is just Satan. I'm saying into the hearings of the Lord this morning that I shall be an international financier of missions. In the name of Jesus. I don't know what you want God to do for you. Talk to God. I want God to bless me and make me a blessing to people. It has already been said that pastors are always poor. I have said no. In my own situation, members of my congregation shall never be poor, and I shall not be poor. For we will finance missions. And to do it, God has been doing it. When we wanted to buy this place, I wonder how many of us, how many prayers do we pray? Here we are. It's a complex. Because our God is good. Say, as you have rehearsed in my hearing, so will I do. What is it that you want God to do for you? Talk to God concerning your home. Talk to God concerning your children. Talk to God concerning your career. Talk to God concerning your business. Talk to God concerning your ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus. He will do it. What are those projects? They will not be abandoned. There shall be no abandoned projects in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have your seat. I want you to sit majestically in the presence of God. This topic that I want to talk about, we have discussed it extensively at Tuesday's meeting. But it's not every one of us that usually come. That is why I'm bringing it back. I went back, I did some research. And I want to bring it back so that when we go back, we can be able to reflect. And I pray that the word of God will not go unfulfilled in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. The word of God will not fall to the ground in the mighty name of Jesus. It shall accomplish that which is meant for in the mighty name of Jesus. God told Jeremiah, he said, I will quicken to perform my word. Father, you will quicken to perform your word in our lives and in this generation in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. I hide myself behind the cross. I will not speak of myself, but I will speak of you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Luke 23:34. The meaning of forgiveness. Luke 23:34. And we shall be looking at it from the point of two people in the Bible. They said to Jesus, Father. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You must have heard the story of Stephen. If you have not heard it, you must have read about it. In the book of Apostles. They laid up, trumped up charges against him. Stephen was seized and was brought before the Sanhedrin for judgment. When he was told to respond to the charges, he gave a very long history from Abraham to Solomon and berated his accusers for behaving just like their ancestors and always resisting the Holy Spirit. And he also accused them of murdering Jesus Christ, killing Jesus Christ. To make matters worse, he looked up to heaven. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and he revealed the same vision to the people. This was too much for the Sanhedrin. What they did, they blocked their ears because they didn't want to listen to this so-called blasphemy. So what did they do to Stephen? They dragged Stephen out of the city and people began to stone him. But before he died from the trauma, he knelt down and prayed that God would not lay the sin against those who stoned him. God, do not lay this sin against these people. This was the only, about the second time we see this type of forgiveness in the Bible. The first is the one we read. You know. The first, of course, was when Jesus was being crucified by nailing him to the cross. And he said in that passage that we read, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, not many people will understand this kind of forgiveness. In fact, during the Tuesday message, during the Tuesday meeting when this issue was discussed, we can see within ourselves that we do not understand the meaning of forgiveness. That some people trump up some charges against you. God's judgment based on those false charges. And are currently physically killing you. And your prayer is that God should do what? Forgive them? Because they don't know what they are doing. To me, of course, they know what they are doing. When I look at it from my physical eyes, they knew what they are doing. They are filled with hatred for that individual, and they want to kill him. And exactly what they did for Jesus and what they did to Stephen. However, not knowing what one is doing goes beyond the physical. That's where I'm going. Had the people who killed Jesus have spiritual understanding, they most probably would not have killed him. If they know that this ministry they are trying to kill, because that's exactly what they wanted to do, kill him so that we will not ever hear of him again. If they knew that by killing him, the gospel is going to be widespread, they won't do it. So tell me, did they know what they are doing? No. So the devil delights in using people who lack spiritual wisdom to attack people. That's what I want you to know. The devil always, you know, delights in using people who lack spiritual wisdom to attack people. You might be very sensitive to trump up charges, yes. It pains to the bone when some people just cook up some lies against you from nowhere, yes. However, not many people will understand this kind of forgiveness. Some people trump up charges, put it against one, get judgment based on those four charges, currently and physically, and they are killing that individual, and you said they don't know. They know what they are doing. So, the devil delights in using people who lack this type of spiritual understanding to attack other people. You know, if you are very sensitive to trump up charges, it's going to be very painful. It will pain that individual to the bone when some people just cook up some lies against you from nowhere. Every one of us must have experienced these things one time or the other, and it's very, very harmful. However, after some time, when we are born again, when we have the Spirit in us, we must realize that people will lie against you for many reasons. Best known to them, they lied against Jesus Christ. They lie against Stephen. They lie against the prophet of God. They lie against Jeremiah. To the extent that Jeremiah said, you know what, I won't talk again. He made up his mind. He said, I will just be looking, I won't talk anything. But what happened? Because he was a prophet of God. He said his bones were doing what? Were born in him. The word of God that is supposed to speak out, which he was not speaking out, was born in him. And he has no choice. He was put in prison. He was put in a dungeon until the entire kingdom was raided by Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah was in the dungeon. It was one of the servants. Go and read Jeremiah. It was one of the servants of Nebuchadnezzar that brought him out of dungeon and fed him. And he began to minister to the leftovers. But the people that are supposed to hear the gospel, they didn't listen. They went. May we not go to hell in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If one has the opportunity to refute the lies, it is okay to do so. But if you do not have the opportunity, some of these lies will not even come to your knowledge. Then you need to allow God to fight for you. God will fight for us in the mighty name of Jesus. The moment you take the thing into your own hand, he lied against me. Therefore, I'm going to do this against him. I'm not going to speak to him again. Look, brethren, you are not allowing God to fight for you. One thing you have to do is not hold your offense against your offenders. That is the meaning of forgiveness we are talking about. For one to make heaven, our mind must be cleared towards them. Praise the Lord. You will remember the example given of the founder of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Pastor Akindayomi. He was an evangelist by calling. Then he got this tract from these other people. He saw it. What a beautiful word of God. What did he do? He just called a printer. Get this thing for me. Baba didn't understand the implications. He didn't understand the meaning of plagiarism. He didn't understand the meaning of copyright law. Nothing like that concerns him. So he got this thing, en masse, and he started distributing it. And those people came to him. Baba, you are using our material to further your ministry. What is going on? It's the word of God to go around. You still have them left? Yes, bring them out. And then Baba brought all the cartons that he has. And in his presence, he put fire and burned it. Baba never forgave them. Is it not this same word of God? Is it not to save the world? And Baba kept those people in his heart for life until he died. When he died, with all the great work, somebody who prayed a prayer with Daddy Gio here before, when Daddy Gio was still somewhere in when they were still coming for Kenneth, this Kennedy meeting that they said they came for, and they were in one hotel and they pray. The hotel has to be closed down because people knock on them and say, "Ah, what type of instruments are you people using?" He said, "We are not using anything, we are just praying." They pray and the building shook. Up to today, that building has been closed down. Yet, it could not make heaven. Because of what? Because of what? Unforgiveness in his heart. He never forgave those people who burned those tracts. And then they told him, "Go back." The question is, how many of us do you think will be given the opportunity to go back? That's why we have to be careful. That is why our minds must be clear. Don't let unforgiveness deny you heaven. Praise the Lord. Our attitude of unconditional unforgiveness may sound like theory, yeah. But we, at last, have some examples to show in this world. We have some examples. Nelson Mandela was an example. Let me read what I got about during my research from Nelson Mandela. We all know Nelson Mandela, former prisoner of conscience in South Africa. He spent 27 years in prison under real torture. Then he was released, and then he became the president of the country. One question that came out in the news media several times after Mandela died was, how was it possible for him to unconditionally forgive his jailers? Why did Mandela refuse to take revenge of some sort after he became president and asked all the powers to do so? During his inauguration as president, he insisted that the former president and his family should sit close to him in the same place that his family sat. When he took over the seat of government, he insisted that the existing staff should remain unless anyone wanted to leave on his own volition. Against all political calculations, he supported the Springboks. Springboks are the country's predominantly white rugby team. And even wore their jersey during the finals of the World Cup in 1995. His support was reported to have been a most instrumental factor towards their winning the cup. Okay, against personal safety recommendations from his own carcass, he used many of the security details that his predecessors used. Mandela knew that he would only be able to stand true to his words by fighting for the freedom of all races, blacks, whites, brown, yellow, and so on. And this was the only way to avoid conflicts and build a nation where people will live peacefully together. This I did not write down, but I got this one as well from part of the research I did on Nelson Mandela. He said one day they were in a restaurant. He just said, "Oh, today, why do we have to worry ourselves about cooking?" He carried his personal staff and family, and they went to a restaurant to eat. So right there was one white guy sitting in that restaurant. What happened was that guy was one of the tormentors when he was in jail. He said when he asked for water, after he has been tormented and he asked for water, it is this same man that will piss on his head and ask him to drink that as water. Mandela saw him at that restaurant eating. And you know what Mandela did? He said, "Call that man to come and sit with us. Let him have his dinner with us." He said, throughout the time that the man was having the dinner, he was shaking. He was doing what? Shaking. He was not himself. Why? Because he thought every evil that he did to Mandela, this is the time for him to revenge. And this is an opportunity for him. If I were Mandela, anyway, I want to show my power. God have mercy. You know, I will let him know that you see, the man you were pissing on that time, I'm now the president of the country. But Mandela didn't do that. So what I'm saying is that if you have such great examples from the secular world, how much more should we practice this among ourselves as Christians? Amen? Offenses are bound to happen in the world. But we must learn to exhibit the characteristics of our Maker and Master by forgiving those who offend us. The moment you don't forgive, may our prayers never be hindered. Simple lost prayer. Say, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sin as we do what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Simply saying that if you do not forgive that guy that has trespassed against you, don't expect forgiveness from God. And if our sins are rising against us in prayer, are we not just wasting our time? Praise the Lord. So we do not have to seek revenge or pray in our hearts for our brothers and sisters to receive the rewards of their wickedness against us. No. If the offense is against the law, that is a different thing. Let the state, the state become the stakeholder, and we need to allow the legal system to play its role. That is for the state. But if it is just against you, brethren, we have to do something. A large proportion of offenses among us are ones that we can settle amicably, and this is what God wants us to do. At least from my own experience. In many, many things that we grumble about, many things that we look at and we are offended, something we can settle among us and move forward. Why did Jesus Christ tell his disciples? Peter went to Jesus. How many times shall I take offense or revenge when I'm offended by my brother? How many times did Jesus Christ tell him? In a day? 70 times 70. I don't know how many working hours we have. Let's say we have 12 working hours. At least do we offend ourselves in our sleep? I don't think so. 12 working hours. Now, begin to count how somebody will offend you 70 times. You put that one aside. Then another 70. In a day, put aside. What is Jesus indirectly telling us? Don't take offense. Clear mind. Move forward. So, with all this, what does forgiveness really mean? In my own conclusion, it means not holding the offense against the offender. That's number one. Two, it means behaving in the same manner towards the offender as you did before the offense was committed. Amen. I think I told you a story of a cousin of mine who borrowed 50 naira from me long time ago when I was about to go to college. He borrowed 50. Our parents didn't hear about it. It would have been more than that. He was living with us. My parents was feeding him everything, free house. And then he was working, about to get married, and then he borrowed 50 naira from me then. And for a very long time, I held this man in contempt. If he asked a dime from me, I would just look at him like this. No way. So, to let him realize that I have money, when the wife gives birth, I doubled that 50 naira that he borrowed from me. I'm sure as at that time, 1981, I would be the highest. My contribution to the newborn babe in that house will be mine. I gave the wife 100 naira. So immediately the wife, because he has come to me to borrow money for the christening, I just dismiss him. But when I get to the naming, drop 100 naira that day. And the wife now told her, and he now came back to me and said, "Daddy, just to borrow me money, you put me to shame." I said, "I didn't put you to shame. You are the one who put yourself to shame. If your wife want to give you the money that I give the baby, that's your headache. Leave me alone. I don't have money to borrow you." Why? I held him in contempt for borrowing money. And I was even thinking in my mind that I've even done you a lot of, saved you a lot of embarrassment. If our parents have heard about it, don't you know the type of thing it will have caused in the family? But one day, I was reading the book of Numbers and was talking about Jubilee and how we should release. And this was years past. Every 7 years, the children of Israel celebrate Jubilee, where you must let off anything that you have given anybody, or anybody that has offended you, you must let him go free of charge. And the Bible says it is a sin unto you if next year is Jubilee to be celebrated next year. And you discover that, and your neighbor came to you and said, can you please borrow me $1 or $100? And you know that, you look at the condition of this man that I'm borrowing $100, he won't be able to pay me. And unfortunately, Jubilee is next year. And you decide not to borrow him and you have the money. The Lord said it's a sin. Then I sat down and I reflect. And this was a man, 50 naira. This was when I came to America. It's not even when I was in Nigeria. To let you know, the money that was borrowed in 1981. No, 1978. He borrowed the money in 1978. I was going to college then. You know. And the wife gave birth in 1981. So, 1978 to 2004 when I came to U.S., to around 2010 or so when I was reading that thing. Look at the gap. And then we'll be praying to God, we'll be fasting, we'll say our prayers are not answered. God will deliver us from ignorance in the mighty name of Jesus. Say a better amen.
Amen.
Spiritual ignorance is a sin. We must not be spiritually ignorant. So, I was saying, what are then the true meaning of? It means behaving in the same manner towards the offender as you did before the offense was committed. That's number two. Number three, if you were friends before, it means continuing to be friends, provided the offender permits that to happen. Hello, because I remember that was one of the questions. What of if you stretch a hand of friendship towards the guy and he rejected you? Well, that is understandable, but you must still be praying for him. Number four, if you are praying for the person before, it means continue to pray for him or her. Hello? So if it's your prayer partner and you are praying, remember that he has offended you. Doesn't stop that. Amen? Number five, if you have information that will make the person to avert a problem or gain an advantage, it means providing the information without delay. I've had situations where they say, he has come to America. Uma suffer, dada. We have the information to help that individual. But for one reason or the other, let him suffer. It's a sin, brethren. Number six, it means that your love for that person who offended you must not diminish after the offense. Amen? This is the real meaning of forgiveness. And I pray that our God will help us to always practice this in our relationship with the mighty name of Jesus. So this morning, where in this area are we making mistakes? I'm appealing to us today. Let's change our attitude. Let's continue as we have been doing before. Don't hold anybody. Let the word of God multiply in our hearts. Let us not only be a reader, a hearer, but what also what? A doer. That is the word of God in Revelation chapter 1, said verse 3, I think. It said, blessed be those who hear this word, who listen to this word, and then who does what? Who does what is written in it? Let's be on our feet this morning. Let's rise up. Talk to God. Father, rain your love in my heart that I may forgive whosoever has offended me. Rain your love into my heart, Lord. Relationship between husband and wife, and then they will say, I will never forgive him. Relationship between Christian brothers, I will never forgive him again. I have forgiven, I will never forget. It's a lie. You must forgive and forget. There must no bitterness. Somebody asked me, how do you forget? The thing kept on coming back to your remembrance. I said, yes. The moment you are, there's no more bitterness when you are remembering. Then you are forgiven. Give me the grace, Lord. The grace is what I want. This is my cousin. Whenever I remember that he borrowed that money from me, I have bitterness against it. Until God shed that light through his word into my heart. And then whenever I remember, I don't feel bitterness anymore. I feel no more bitterness. Pray. Ask God this morning, Father, who is that individual that I have vowed that I will never forgive? Or I have forgiven, but I will never forget. Father, give me the grace this morning that bitterness should fly out of my mind. Your wife will offend you. Your husband will offend you. In sociology, the higher the level of interaction, the higher the level of conflict. Can you imagine that? It is the people that you interact with that will offend you. They are the one that may not make you to make it to heaven. Brethren, pray this morning. Lord, give me that heart that forgives. That heart that never stores offense. That heart that loves. And if you read according to the word of God, 1 Corinthians 13. From 6, I think. Love never fails. Where there is prophecy, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. Father, let that one which is perfect inhabit my heart this morning. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed off. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Can you imagine? Love is not provoked. So forgiveness is there all the time. Thinks no evil. We think evil when there is no forgiveness. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things. Even if the sister is doing it all the time, love bears it. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Father, this is the type of heart I want. Grant unto me. Brethren, talk to God this morning that the word of God will not go in vain in me. Talk to God.
For it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And we are going to pray through Psalm 51 before we pray for the man of God, that the Lord will have mercy upon us according to his loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. He will blot out all our transgressions. He will wash us thoroughly from all our iniquities and cleanse us from all our sin. For we acknowledge our transgressions, and our sin is ever before us. Against thee only have we sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speak and be clear when thou judge. Behold, we were shapen in iniquity, and in the sin of our mother conceived us. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make us to know wisdom. Purge us, daddy, with your blood, and we shall be clean, and wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Make us to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from all our sins and blot out all our iniquities, create in us a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Cast us not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Restore unto us the joy of thy salvation, and uphold us with thy free spirit. Then we will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver us from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of our salvation, and our tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto us. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and all burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thy altar. The Lord will forgive us in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's stretch forth our hands unto the man of God, because God has used him to open our heart, to open our eyes to all those things, little forces that can stand against us. Let's just begin to pray for him, that the Lord will bless him the more in the name of Jesus, that the Lord he will have mercy upon him in the name of Jesus. In wisdom, the Lord will enlarge him in the name of Jesus. In righteousness, the Lord will guide him in the name of Jesus, that he will not fall. He will not falter in the name of Jesus. That the Lord will continue to replenish his anointing on daily basis in the name of Jesus. That the virtue that has gone out of him this morning, the Lord will replenish in the mighty name of Jesus. That he will not die the death of ungodly in the name of Jesus. As he's trying to show us the way, the Lord will not abandon him in the name of Jesus. The Lord will not forsake him in the name of Jesus. He will cause his eyes to shine upon his life, upon his generation, upon his family in the name of Jesus. And that is as he will make heaven. That we too, we will not miss it on that day in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. What a wonderful Father. Thank you for this teaching of this morning, O Lord, that it will bless your name, O Lord. In any way, O Lord, that any of us, O Lord, have been holding any grudge, any unnecessary things, O Lord. Daddy, Lord Jesus, Daddy, we will no longer be entangled in any sinful thing in the name of Jesus. In any unforgiveness, we will no longer be entangled. We release, O Lord, by force, by fire, by thunder, everyone that we have been holding, O Lord, by your mercy, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. And we will make heaven on that day, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, for it is in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen.